you would please, I am going to try, since we took a little longer inquiry, to be done quicker than I normally am. And I realize there's some of you say, preach on, preacher. And others say, preach on, preacher, but please make it short. Deuteronomy, if you would please, in chapter 24, if you would with me, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24. If you would with me, we're going to look at a verse of scripture. I'm not going to read all the scriptures that I have written down here, because if I did, would be here a little longer than I want to be. So I'm going to mention them. So if you're taking notes, it would be good. If not, you can go online, and the address is back there on the back. But Deuteronomy chapter 24, I'm going to read just one verse, verse 18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind. Chapter 24, I'm in chapter 28, I'm in trouble. I look at that verse, that ain't right. Chapter 24, it says, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Heavenly Father, help me now as I speak. Give me wisdom and strength now, Lord, please. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. February 4th, 1973, I got saved and something happened to me. One of the things that happened to me, I had a greater appreciation of being an American. And so I wrote something down. I've had it for all these years, and I typed it up this morning. Contemplating the effects of global movement and the women's life, woman's life agenda, and the council culture promenading in society and promoted by the social media outlets, I thought it appropriate to remind myself and hopefully others who may see or read this feeble attempt to bring Americans back to America and back to God. I think what is missing in the hearts of the average person living in the U.S. of A. is an understanding of what being an American is. So let me tell you of what a 13-year-old Dan had to say of what being American is. Soul liberty. Being able to worship my God the way I desire to brings me great joy and freedom in my daily life. The hope that comes from the Constitution that promotes and grants these freedoms, that right is the best reason to have pride of being an American. Capitalism, business, the process in which each and every man, woman, and child can have an intricate part in the supply and needs of its country. The opportunity to prosper or fail freely for a while without restrictions and regulations or even ridicule. To rise every morning with a purpose and lie down at night with pride of accomplishment. That's American. Freedom to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. No one but God to bow down to. No one to command my soul what is right or wrong for me. No one to hinder my advancement in this life but me. No one to control my spirit, my soul, or my body. I'm a slave to no one and a servant only to my Creator. That's American. When I saw that flag as a born-again 13-year-old boy, I stood attention, understanding the honor for which it represented. All those freedoms it granted, all those liberties it gave. I held back my tears for those who sacrificed their own life, liberty, and happiness so I could keep mine. I spoke the Pledge of Allegiance standing tall, about 5 foot, and with a commanding voice. I sang the Pledge of Allegiance with tears in my eyes, for what I saw was America, the greatest country, God's country. You heard them quotes. God's country, Those men and women over the years knew it was God that was starting this country, not man. In our text here, Israel forsook God's word, and because of that, they were making a choice of death instead of life. We have seen so many deaths, murders, suicides in this world, in this nation, drug addicts being multiplied. Fentanyl's one thing. Come on, we've been pushing stuff in our bodies for years. Why is that? God's gone. When God comes, that stuff goes away. We have in our presence here today people that used to do those drugs. Did you hear me? Used to do. But God saved their lives. God is the one. They served other gods instead of the God of the land. I was thinking this while I was typing this up this morning. I typed in served other gods. You know, we have the only God that even when we're stupid, and I think not following the Lord is stupid in myself and others. Amen? And if you're not going to follow the Word of God, why have the Word of God? Why don't you have Mickey Mouse give you something to do? All I'm saying is this. I'm thinking of these other gods. When you displease the other gods, they kill you on the spot. You can't go to Nirvana. You can't have all your virgins. I still like Hoffman. You know, some of you know who he is. You know. You spell it A, Flemman, Achman. And he looking out of the people, he goes, he just got killed, he's a terrorist. He goes, are these all my virgins? Now, that's terrible, isn't it? But that's how some of them think. You blow yourself up. God doesn't want us to blow ourselves up. He says he wants us to live. And he wants us to live a sacrificial life. We have a great God. They got covetous. I can't stand someone telling me I'm wrong because I have more than them. I worked hard. Now, if someone gave it to me, yeah, that's wrong. But if I earned it, I had someone tell me that you need to praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit's in your preacher, because I'd have been arrested a few times. I had someone standing in a crowd trying to tell me that I was a money monger and that I'm a lover of filthy lucre. And I'm living in a good house because I exploited the ministers of the church. Praise the Lord, I had a son there that took my side. And plus, my son's bigger, so I'm glad for him to step in front of me. But he stood up and grabbed that guy by the nape of the neck and said, "You don't know the story. Let me tell you." Why? Because guy was covetous. He wanted something I had, and he wanted it. Well, if you want it, do it. Pay the fiddler, amen? Get to work. Quit complaining if you're poor, if you're not willing to work. You want to be that way, you could be that way. Now, there's circumstances I know. There's things that come up that can make things a mess. They became immoral. Buying, planting, selling marijuana is legal in almost every state in the United States. I remember when that it wasn't. Marriage was between a man and a woman joined together by God till death do us part. Now we have two guys standing there wanting. That makes me more sick than two girls. Two girls is bad enough. I mean, girls, they hug and kiss all day long anyway. Guys, man, Dave Talley's not here. He says, "Where's my holy kiss?" I said, "Not for me." You remember, he was talking to the churches in the New Testament, the church here. He ain't getting no holy kiss. And some of you are huggers. I'm not a hugger. I remember Marilyn Neely, I told her, I said, "I don't hug anybody between 7 and 70. And she goes, "Well, I'm 71. Can I get a hug now?" But can you believe we actually do that today? We allow boys in girls' locker rooms in America. That, in our days, that guy would be arrested just for the thought of doing that. Isn't that sad? It sounds like America, doesn't it? I'm going to be real quick. First of all, we see in verse 18, first part, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. The state of ruin. Why do we want to be bound? Come on, amen. I don't understand anybody that, now I'm not a Republican, and let's just throw this out. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christocrat. I will vote Bible. Well, it's obvious in the last probably 60 to 100 years, Democrats are away from the Bible. So I will never vote Democrat. Right now, their platform is against the Word of God. Okay? And most of the Republicans are. I remember writing George Bush, the son, is it W or whatever it was, the son, I wrote the son because he voted in the Hate Act, a hate speech act, that says if you stand in the pulpit and preach against homosexual lesbians, you're considered hateful. Wow, I also preach against lying. They're all sin. Come on, amen. What am I hating? I do hate lying. I don't hate liars. I hate stealing, but I don't hate thieves. I hate murder, but I don't hate murderers. Unless they're coming after me. State of ruin. They were lost. But praise the Lord, God can find us. Amen? But they got their bands loosed by God, and yet they wanted to stay bound. How many times you look in the Word of God, the Israelites have said, oh, it was better in Egypt. I mean, we got Americans saying it's better, England's better, and Europe's better. I remember my dad wouldn't eat French fries for a while. I said, why, Dad? He started calling them American fries. I guess we can't call it Mexican food anymore. We got to call it because what we eat in America at these Taco Bells is not Mexican anyway. I've gone down to a person just come across the border and I'm eating their food. It's a lot different. And I'm going to tell you, I like what America has done to Mexican food. You may not like it, but I like it. So I remember Elijah said, that's a white man's enchilada, ye man. I said, you betcha, that I'm a white man and I eat those enchiladas, yeah. But God loosed the bonds. Why are we wanting to go? Why? Listen, and we'll get into it here in a second, a few minutes. Why would we, right, sitting here right now, want to get bound by the government? I don't want to. I don't want to be bound by this world. We'll lose. We're giving away. They were liberated. And that they went back to the world. We got pulled out of the world. Why do we want to get back in it? The state of redemption. Look at verse 18 again. And it says, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. You're in bondage, but the Lord redeemed you. Folks, now here's a problem we have. And I don't know how many kids we have in here that are taught this, but I do know it's being taught in schools today and colleges. I don't think you ought to be going to a social college. I think you ought to go to a Christian college if you can. Or a vo-tech school. If you just want to learn a trade, go to a vo-tech. They will teach you your trade, not how to hate America. And they won't teach you falsehood. I still remember when my kids were in school the last year there in public schools, there was 2.5 pages of information in their history book about Michael Jackson and less than a paragraph about George Washington in American history. I think they're missing out. I think no wonder kids don't like America. Michael Jackson and Madonna are the ones they're looking up to. No wonder they hate America. But they were liberated and they went back. We see not only a state of ruin, we see the state of redemption. The United States of America in 1776 got a state of redemption a few years later, but they signed a piece of paper. I have a flag upstairs on the way up in my workout room at 1776 flag. And I almost brought it but I thought, well, that's maybe too much. But it was a time where we liberated from England. No longer uncontrolled by man. We were controlled by God and by the people of the United States of America. At the time, they only had 13 states, colonies, as they called it at the time. But there was a change coming. The Bible says even to ourselves, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The problem is a lot of times we get liberated, we want to go back into bondage. The Lord said, that don't make sense. Why do you want to do that? We're consecrated, set apart, and such were some of you. We should be confident. I'm confident. I have people say there's no hope for America. Well, then why the Lord, we're going to get to the verse here in a little bit, and 2 Chronicles say, yes, I can heal the land. And I don't know if you checked it out in your Old Testament when you're reading about Israel's roller coaster ride. Israel's up with God, and all of a sudden they get to start looking around and say, we're doing good, and all of a sudden they're coming back down, and they end up in the pit again, end up in bondage again. The Lord delivers them. They get back up at the top, and back down they go. A lot of Christians are that way. America has been that way. Every once in a while we get a glimpse of freedoms again. We're getting a glimpse. It's just a small glimpse of freedoms. But listen, folks, he hasn't got enough regulations pulled off for me to get happy. But he's made some that's been a blessing to see that maybe there's hope. Redemption, Christ said, I can do it. And I believe that as long as America's around, God has we have an opportunity to get right with God. So let's see the third thing, verse C, in chapter 18c. And not only he redeemed us, not only a state of ruin and a state of redemption, but we see a state of responsibility. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. A state of responsibility. Listen, folks. One of the reasons why the teachers today are not teaching American history properly is it gives us, our children, whoever is in the school system, either our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or our children, it gives them the idea of they've been cheated instead of an idea of gratefulness. We ought to be grateful for our forefathers. These men and women here that served in the armed forces. Now, some of them served during wartime and some of them did not. But they served to protect yours and my rights. My father fought in World War II. My great-grandfather fought in the Civil War. My great-great-grandfather fought in War of Independence. I want to say Revolutionary War. That's the way England looks at it. We call it the War of Independence. We fought to get it. And you go back, way back to 1206 A.D., my family fought to maintain their land. Listen, what I'm trying to say is people, we have a debt. We have an understanding that we have a debt to the people before us. There are people that before us that gave us the freedoms. How dare you spit on that flag? How dare you burn that flag? How dare you wear it upside down on your rear end? All that makes me want to do is the flesh to rise up and kick it. Not the flag. All I'm saying is this, we have a debt, not only society, but we have a debt to our Savior. You could have been born in Russia, Belarus, Congo. You could have been raised in one of them countries. You could have been sitting right now in a country, a little church that's right now in Thailand, being threatened by the Buddhist. That if they come out of that church with a Bible in their hand, they'll get beaten to death. You could be down in Chile as a young boy that saw his sister beat to death by his four older brothers because she got baptized in a Baptist church. And on the way home, they beat her to death because she went away from Catholicism. Praise the Lord, the Baptist church doesn't beat their members for quitting. That may be a practice that might keep our membership up. Leave that in the Lord's hands, amen? Our state of responsibility, should be determined. Not only a debt, we ought to determine in our lives that our resources are for our fellow man. It's a sad part that we live today that we hoard instead of sell. I had a friend of mine in Missouri, he was farming 15,000 acres of corn. And he told me that the government came in and offered him that this crop, they'll give him the price of the crop if he'd destroy it instead of sell it. I said, what are you thinking? He goes, well, I'm thinking I might do that because I wouldn't have to harvest it. And I wouldn't have to take it to the market. I could. The government was trying to control prices. And the Bible said, cursed is the guy that has corn and won't sell it. So you sell it at a cheaper price. Get it out there. Amen. I said, what are you going to do? He says, I don't know yet. I said, well, you better do what the Bible says or you're in trouble. We ought to determine that a resource. We ought to be ready to help out. We ought to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ. We ought to determine that. I had someone ask me the other day, how come you seem content and at peace in your life? And I said, I have a purpose that came upon me when I was about 17 years of age. I'd been saved for a few years, been doing something, but I had to know what I was going to do the rest of my life. People come up and say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's your life going to be like? And I had to pray about it, think about it. I wanted to be a carpenter. And so I love building houses. I love building things. I like going out someplace and there's nothing. And a few days later, a few weeks later, there's a building standing there. That sounds good. And about a month later, there's a family living in it. Kids swinging on the back swing back in the backyard on the swing. I love that. I love that ability to get something that is a blessing to someone else and have some kind of proof that I was at work. You folks that do stuff on computer, that just drives me absolutely nuts. I spend about 20 minutes on a computer and I'm ready to have a heart attack. I'm getting up, walking out and going, this is going to drive me nuts. And so I get up and go do something. But everybody's different. Everybody's different. But we ought to be able to use it. But someone said, well, why? Why are you so laser focused? I said, because at 17, I found my purpose in life. My purpose in life is to serve Almighty God in His local church. Amen. Everything else just makes it possible. Going to work and getting a paycheck just makes it possible to do it. Also, I can reach out to other people. Amen? Family and vacations and stuff like that are extra. Purpose is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my duty. That's a responsibility to have. Everyone, everywhere, every breath I take, every breath you take should be for the Lord. Remember this, God's the one who gave you your breath today. You ought to be grateful for that. Last one, if you would, go to 2 Chronicles, and I'll close with this. And this, I want to end on a positive note. The state of their ruin, we saw their state of redemption. We saw the state of responsibility. You say, well, preacher, how about today? And that is a state of revival. A state of revival. You know what I'm frustrated with? I'm frustrated with these Christians praying. And now we're going to talk about this in a second, but I want to keep it in context. Praying for revival. Praying for revival. Praying for revival. Praying for revival. Are you done yet? No. Praying for a revival. Get off your knees and get to work. Amen. Amen. You could pray for good health and you could get up and start eating right, living right, exercising. Amen. You could pray that your bank account gets better and you could sit on your couch doing this, or you could get off your couch and get a job. I get a kick out of these guys that hold these signs out. We'll take a job. I hand them my card and say, call me, and never get a call. You ain't looking for a job. I've had guys, members of the church, say, I need work. I say, hey, I have some. Here's the work. And they never show up. You don't complain. Come on, amen. Hey, America, don't complain. Christians, listen to this. Let's look at the verse. You know it. Verse 14 of chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, starts off with three words. If my people. Why are we asking Joe Biden to fix our country? Why are we asking Donald Trump? I'm not sitting there saying Donald Trump's saved or unsaved. I'm not going to even guess. That's between him and God. Amen? But if he's using the Catholic Church as his means for salvation, he's not saved. Let me just throw this out. If he's using the Baptist church as the means for his salvation, he's not saved. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen? Amen. It is a gift of God. It is not a gift of the church. It's a gift of God. So whatever religion he may be leaning on, I don't know. If he's saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. Amen. Amen. But it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. There's the first thing that we need. What's the state of revival? We need humility. Shall humble themselves and pray. We do need to pray. Come on, amen? How many of you men or women are a little bit like me? With an uplift hand, you could say, I very rarely ask for help. There's a few of you here today that will admit that. I know when my wife doesn't want my help, I get the look. So you all know what the look is. It stops everything in life. A bear or a lion roaring, coming at you to kill you and eat. Just get your wife to look at him that way, and that bear will stop. That lion will pass out. It's over. So I know that means leave me alone. But we need to understand, with men, it's impossible. We're talking about fixing a nation. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So let's get him involved. Amen. Second thing, and seek my face. So not only humility and prayer, but the second thing is we need to seek God's advice. Oh, we're so proud of our ways. And the Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways. Oh, my, in Proverbs 3, a lot of times we want to acknowledge ourselves. We want to do it our way. The Lord says, you better stop. I hear a lot of people go, well, I want. Well, I like. That's not what the Lord wants. We better make sure it's what the Lord wants. Amen? Seek my face. Here's the next one. How do I get the state of revival? My people humble themselves, pray, seek God's face. Thirdly, turn from their wicked ways. We had a young man come to our church years ago, a young boy, and I was a youth director at the time and the pastor, so I was having youth on a different night. Once a month, we was having a youth a meeting. We'd have a Bible studies and activity until I could get the youth built up, get a youth director. I didn't have a youth director at the time. So I'd meet together with youth. The young boy came. I went by, he lived over there off First Street, and I went by and knocked on his door. I was by myself, so if he would have come to the door, I just stayed there. If his wife would have come, I'd just stay there. I wouldn't have come in. But a man showed up, and I said, I'm here to visit your son. I'm just assuming it was his son. He goes, no, it's not my son. It's my girlfriend's son. Okay, well, I thought he was just visiting there. Presume the best. No, it was a man and a woman in their 30s, living together out of wedlock, and had two children. One was his and one was hers. And I got in, we sat down, didn't say a word other than I just wanted to come. I looked at the mom, said, your son came to church. Just wanted to see if you had any questions about the church. He goes, oh no, we go to church right up here. We're Sunday school teachers at the church right up here. And I don't know about you, but I came from a different kind of church. A different kind of religion, a different kind of practice. And I stopped and went, hold on a second. I did. I said, hold on a second. I'm going to try to be as nice as I can. Does your pastor know you're shacking up? Oh, he knows all about it. He's all for it. No wonder America's not healed. Christians won't even, they call themselves Christians. They both said they were saved by grace on their way to heaven. That's a different saved by grace than what I caught. Come on, amen? Anybody see that stupid commercial or that stupid thing on YouTube of the church? And I can't remember what state it was, and hopefully it wasn't any state that you were born in. But they were in some state, I think it was in the East Coast, and the guy's up there in a RoboCop uniform, the pastor was, costume. It had a pride flag in back, and he was bragging on prides and complaining that Trump was getting these things passed and get away from trans athletes in girl sports. And that was called a church service. Have a cross right above the pride flag. What's the matter with America? We're messed up. And you may sit there and say, Pastor, you're bashing on these people. It's called wickedness. Just the same as lying and cheating and all of that. But some are just out there and we shouldn't be doing any of them. Come on, amen. As soon as Christians say, okay, this America's a mess, I have the power to fix it. Don't look around at someone else. You do. Let's start. Someone said revival starts. Let it start in me. Lastly, wait. We need to wait. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Folks, you want revival? Let's get right with God. You say, well, can we get every Christian right with God? Probably not, but we might be able to get ourselves right with God. It starts with the individual, and it spreads. And you get right with God, I get right with God, maybe someone next to us might get right with God. Eventually, we might have the whole church right with God. Praying. And that may be just one church, but we might be able to reach out to some other churches when they start seeing God work in this church. How'd that happen, preacher? We just got right with God. You know what's so neat? Look at verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. He was talking about the house of God. Guess what, folks? Americans, God's waiting. God waited for Israel for 1,500 years. They never got right with Him. They had moments, year or two here or there, but they never as a nation turned to God, back to God. Today, Israel's being bombed constantly. Why is that? They won't turn back to God. America, we're seeing many bad things happen in America. To the point where a lot of Americans don't like to be an American. Well, it's still the best place to be. But you know, its principles, its foundation is of God. But if our people, if we will get right with God, He's listening. Let's bow our heads, please.